Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff joins us from Capitol Hill. Welcome to the program, Secretary.
Happy to be here.
Would the changes that you've proposed for the department make it any more likely that the United States could avert the kind of attack that we witnessed in London?
Well, of course, the changes are designed to make us more effective across the board, not with respect to just one specific type of attack, but in terms of the total strategy we use in dealing with the threats that we face. And bearing in mind that the challenge is to identify and focus first on the most significant risks measured in terms of potential consequences, our vulnerabilities, and the threats. So this is not a response to a particular event. It's really an effort to approach the question of how to make this country safe across the board in a strategic way.
But would across the board include preventing or being able to thwart the kind of terror attack on the subway system of New York, let's say?
Well, sure it would, because part of what we're talking about doing here is linking all of our intelligence within the department under a chief intelligence officer so that we have the best possible opportunity to fuse and analyze all the information which we collect at the border or in our transportation system every single day. And then the ability to bring on board an operations function that lets us make sure that all of our components are operating in sync with each other, again, is the kind of tool that makes it more likely we can avert or, if necessary, and if unfortunately necessary, respond to an attack like the one that happened in London.
I'd like to ask you some questions that arise from what happened in London. Now, the British authorities say that the four bombers there were British-born citizens of the United Kingdom. As such, they would qualify for the easy entry into the U.S. under the visa waiver program. If citizens of European countries are being recruited now for terror attacks, does it make sense to scrutinize European applicants for travel here any less than people from Pakistan or Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think it raises a challenge for us in terms of making sure we have appropriate intelligence, and we can do that in a number of ways. One of the things I announced today is that we're going to move our U.S. visit screening system, which operates at all of our ports of entry, to one which requires people to enroll with 10 fingerprints as opposed to 2 on their first visit. That's going to give us a greater capacity to search databases, not only against names, which we can do already, but against a wider number of fingerprints that we pick up in field operations. So increased intelligence, increased ability to search databases, increased ability to get fingerprints are the kinds of steps which I think will give us protection against the possibility of native Europeans who may want to come over.
That would include someone applying for a visa
yes,
in Britain,
I mean,
you say, for the first time coming here.
Yes, yes. This program for U.S. visit applies to all countries, whether they're visa waiver countries or not.
Another point, typical of terrorist attacks elsewhere, the British bombers evidently traveled from Leeds, where they could have stayed at home and planted bombs, to go to London, a city where the world would take notice of their actions, as in Madrid or New York or Washington. Is the U.S. now distributing Homeland Security funds, and is the Congress doing so in a way that acknowledges that pattern? Or is there, in fact, too much pork barrel legislation spreading it all over the country and not where attacks are most likely?
Well, I think a point that we made in the president's budget and we've continued to make since we submitted the budget is we really have to move more and more to a totally risk-based system of allocating funds. And that means not having a lot of money distributed based on preset formulas that are determined according to your political jurisdiction or your state, but that are really driven by a much more refined and focused analysis on the particular threats to infrastructure based on all kinds of considerations. And by the way, you can't tell using that formula whether money is going to go to a particular state or not to a particular state, because we drive the decision-making on a risk-based model by looking at the specific infrastructure and the specific consequences of an attack.
So that, for example, planes might take off from somewhere else in the country and be headed for a place where the risk is greatest. You would have to protect everywhere. But you do assume that the greatest risks are in New York, Washington, D.C., yes?
Well, clearly there are risks in New York and Washington, D.C. that are unique in terms of past practice, in terms of national icons, in terms of not only the population, but the kinds of activities that occur in terms of the economy and in terms of our government. But, you know, there are other parts of the country, for example, where there may be electric grids that are pivotal to providing power, or there may be other kinds of infrastructure that are critical to our transportation. For example, I know the Houston ship channel and the port of Houston has a tremendous economic impact in terms of the entire country. So there's no cookie cutter here, and you can't call the winners or losers in advance. We've got to make these decisions on the merits based on a disciplined risk analysis.
Secretary of Homeland Security Michael Chertoff, thanks a lot for talking with us.
All right, my pleasure.